Yeah. Let's take them back.
Welcome to a special five-part Inquirer Sports podcast series. I'm Paul Daner Jr. One player at a time, I'm transporting you back a decade to a season when the Cincinnati Bengals dismissed 15 years of losing to become AFC North champs and most exciting team in the NFL. And man, did this city ever love them. It ended when Kimo von Olhoffen became a household name in the houses of tortured Cincinnati sports fans. For that year, though, the 05 Bengals entered the realm of most popular teams in Cincinnati history. This is their story.
I'm Raps MVP, and I ain't going nowhere, so you can get to know me.
These are the love of the underdogs on top, and I'm gonna shine, homie, until my heart stops.
Go ahead, envy me. I'm Raps MVP, and I ain't going nowhere, so you can get to know me.
All right, here we are in our latest edition of our look back at the 2005 Cincinnati Bengals. And really, when you talk about, everyone wants to talk about the offense, and the offense put up insane numbers, and it was one of the best offenses certainly in this franchise's history. But the ability to create turnover was something that really set it apart, and that starts with my guest today, which was cornerback on that team, Delta O'Neal. Had a 9-year career, four of those with the Bengals. You had 39 starts, 16 picks, 54 passes defense, and 05 was just the shining year where you had first-team All-Pro, led the NFL with 10 picks, which is still a Bengals record. Delta O'Neal, thanks for joining me, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. First of all, let's just kind of catch everybody up. And what are you up to now? And you're living in Atlanta, but what are you up to these days?
Really just raising my children, you know, being a family guy now, and I've always been a family guy, but, you know, my kids are getting older, so they're into sports and, you know, just been giving them some knowledge of, you know, just being an athlete and learning the ways of sports, growing up into it, and, you know, teaching them some of the things that I was taught throughout my life, you know, growing up, and actually started training the youth around the local area in McDonough. You know, there's a few kids that I train at college prospects, kids that, you know, want to start football at an early age. I've been training them speed and agility. So, you know, I just give it back to what I was taught growing up, and, you know, just giving them some knowledge and lessons to learn, you know, growing up, coming up through the youth programs.
Yeah. Now, how many kids do you have?
Well, I have two boys, a stepson, and two daughters. Yeah.
Are the boys following in your footsteps? Is football in the future?
Well, they love the game. They're outside in the backyard playing little 10-15 yard tackle football. But I told them, you know, once you get to a certain age and, you know, you develop, you know, it'll be your choice. But right now, I think the best sport for them is like soccer, yeah, or track or something to get their agility. Because I figure if you can actually kick a ball and control a ball the way you can play in soccer, then the sky's the limit if you want to play football. The agility aspect would be tremendous.
If they start wanting to play football, you can just flip on some highlights from the 2005 season and show them how it's done. do you look back at that year and just feel like it was just the perfect storm as far as your career season goes?
Well, I mean, it would have been perfect if we had won that year, you know, the Super Bowl. I figured that was the best year, our opportunity to win, you know, during my career. I felt like that was the best year for us to do it. But, you know, it was a milestone for me. You know, it was something that I was able to achieve, to go to the Pro Bowl again and, you know, be with a team and be on a defense that everybody had the chemistry of just gelling together. We are all on one page, one accord. So, you know, it felt like if Odell did something or if Torrey did something, I felt like I need to do something. Even the guys that were second string and third string, they're like, look, if I get in, I know I'm getting me a pick, you know, or if I get in, I'm going to cause a turnover, or or Anthony Mitchell causing a big hit, or, you know, just all, it was just across the board. Everybody wanted to play for each other. You know, we had our ups and downs, but, you know, it was just like, okay, you know, forget about it, put it on the back of your head, and let's keep moving. We got this offense, this high-power offense on the other side that's itching to get on the field. Let's get them on the field. Let's cut this field half instead of letting them play 80 yards. Let's cut them 50 right. yards, 40 yards. Let's make it happen, you know?
Yeah. Now, when I mention the 2005 Bengals, what's the first thing that comes to mind when someone just mentions that team?
Me personally, it's the Green Bay game. You know, when the whole secondary was mic'd up, and you know, we had a chance to play against one of the greatest quarterbacks in the NFL, Brett Favre, and you know, we knew going into the game that, you know, Brett Favre throws. You know, he throws the ball pretty hard. So, you know, it's going to be some deflections off the receiver's hands, so you might be able to get some. So, you know, we're all just looking at the chops. We're just like, yes, let's do this. We're playing against Brett Favre. Even though, you know, you look at Brett Favre as kind of a dangerous aspect. Don't think that it's just going to happen like that, because he can put points on you in a matter of seconds. So,
right.
You know, that's what always comes to my mind, because at one point in the game I had gotten an interception. And I sat on the bench with Torrey, and we're mic'd up, and 6 Days of Sunday had us mic'd, you know, they showed the clip. We're sitting on the bench, and I'm like, Torrey, you know how we work. And Torrey's like, yeah, I know, it's my turn. And sure enough, the very next series, Torrey get an interception. So that's the type of chemistry we had that whole year. And it was a beautiful thing for us.
Yeah, that was, let's say, a 21-14 win. They ended up moving you guys to 6-2. On the season, and it would be a kind of a run to 11-3 until you kind of started preparing for the playoffs at that point. I want to kind of track it back, because it was you came to the Bengals in a trade in 04 on draft day, and at that time, the Bengals had not gone to the playoffs since 1990. You're coming off a Denver Broncos team that had two straight winning seasons and made the playoffs last year with a ninth defense. Were you at that time initially, when the trade happened, disappointed because of, you know, what had sort of been the history of the Bengals franchise? Was that anybody that came here for the last 14 years had known that they were kind of coming to a team that was losing games?
Now, you know what? I got a chance previously, that previous year, to speak with Chad Johnson and Peter Ward. Deion Sanders invited, you know, them to me, Champ Bailey, and Phillip Buchanan to a little camp him and Michael Irvin had down by his place. And, you know, I spoke to Chad and spoke to Peter. Me and Peter came out the same year, so, you know, we had a little bit of ties there. But, you know, I spoke to him, like, how the program going. You know, they spoke highly of Marvin Lewis at the time, and, you know, it was like, yeah, the program is changing. I know, you know, things that you've heard is different and this and that. And, you know, so my outlook of their team was different. You know, they to me, they were one of those teams, okay, yeah, they might not be winning. They might not have that 500 or be making the playoffs, but they have dangerous people on their team that if you're doing good, you can get upset real quick. Because my rookie year, we played them, and Corey Dillon ran all over us, and Peter Warwick ran all over us. So if they wasn't doing anything in 2000, you know, so they were a dangerous team in the set. Of if you're a great team, don't sleep on them. Don't play to their level of, you know, what you think they are, because they're actually an NFL team. Anybody in the NFL team at any given Sunday can beat you. So, yeah. But when I arrived, you know, as soon as I arrived, I pulled in the parking lot, and Torrey, who was sitting in the parking lot, was Torrey James, and you know, and we spoke. I've heard of Torrey because Torrey played in Denver. He was drafted in Denver. I heard through everybody there that Torrey was a great cornerback. Unfortunately, he got hurt and ties were split, so he went to Oakland. And every time we played Oakland, they would speak highly about him. Every time we played him, Torrey would get to one or two picks. And I'm like, okay, this is the guy, you know. And once I got there, you know, me and Torrey spoke in the parking lot. And from there, we were just, you know, hip to hip. We was always together, you know, and I think that's what's – and when I arrived, there was more younger guys on the team than there were older. You know, they were rebuilding. So, you know, there was a lot of teaching going on. There was a lot of, you know, lessons to be learned. And, you know, me being only my fifth year, I'm looking at, okay, I have to play the role of a a veteran, you know, and I was considered a veteran, but they looked at me, okay, you're still young, but
yeah,
but I had to play that role and teach Kiwan, teach Madu Williams, all the rookie class that came in on defense. We had to teach them the ways to understand, man, you're going to get beat. Something's going to happen. You got to learn how to, it's 17 weeks, man. You got to learn how to put things behind you and play on. It's not college. You can't think about it like college, man. This is a long haul. So, you know, and they slowly started getting into it and, you know, everybody started gelling, and it took 1 year. Torrey went to the Pro Bowl that year in 2004, and then I went the following year. And a lot of the players that I was playing with in that secondary, you know, if they had a chance to get on the field, they probably would have performed just as good as me. You know, because it was an all-out battle, you know, in practice versus Chad and TJ and Chris Henry. Yeah. And, you know, they had some warriors on that other side, you know, so.
Yeah.
How much was that part of you guys becoming so opportunistic and really, and, you know, like you said, where Torrey's in the Pro Bowl 1 year, you're in the Pro Bowl. How much was that from those practice battles? And were there, did it get heated? I mean, what did it get, did you guys get after each other like that, where there was a lot of trash talk? I mean, if Chad's there and TJ's there, you got to assume there was a lot of trash being talked even in those practices.
Oh, yeah, all day. I mean, Chad was mainly the one, you know, and it kind of boosted up TJ and Chris and, you know, who else was there? I can't think of Kevin was there. Kelly Washington. We had a group of guys that you had a guy that's a possession receiver. You had two deep and Chad. So you were always like, man, you got to be on top of your game. You have to, mm-hmm. you know. And what we were getting is you got a speedy guy. You got a guy that's actually a long distance runner that can run forever. You have two possession receivers. So, you know, we looked at all that and tied that into our game when we played other teams. Okay, this guy's kind of similar to Chad. This guy's kind of similar to TJ. He's a possession receiver, Kelly, possession receiver. Or this guy's a deep threat like Chris Henry. You know, so every time we faced each other, we always had that look going into the game. We didn't have to worry about anything. You know, mm-hmm. all we had to do was just actually execute the defense and play football. You know, I say that year by far was my favorite year, but it actually put me in a mind state like I really enjoy football, because coming out of Denver, I was more upset. A lot of things was changing, you know, being from a first round draft pick to being put on offense, playing receiver. Then, you know, they just lost all faith and hope in me. So that actually put the fun back into football for me when I got to Cincinnati. So I really enjoyed that year and the year before that as well.
Yeah. How did, you know, one thing that happened that season that I think changed a lot of things for you guys was the arrival of Odell Thurman. And how did he, you know, from having been on that defense in 2004, how did he change the dynamic of the way you guys play when he came in and had that rookie season he did?
Man, Odell was one of those guys, and, you know, I really wish his career would have, you know, turned for the better, but you know, things happen. But Odell was one of those guys that if you gave him about 4 or 5 years, he'd probably be in the likings of Ray Lewis, you know, because he was that guy that he was going to talk. He would talk to the other team, get them, you know, riled up, but he would back his talk up. So that kind of gave us the edge. Okay, we got a linebacker that's he's ready. Let's keep feeding him. And then he was making plays not only in the backfield or making tackles. He was actually getting interceptions. I think he had like 5 interceptions that that year. And, you know, it was one of those things that everybody was drawing, feeding off of what his energy was bringing, because he brought so much energy to that, you know, to that team during that season. You know, he was along the lines of Nate Webster. Nate Webster was the same way in 2004 until he got hurt. You know, he was that guy that he would draw up everybody and everybody be on one accord. We'd have that chemistry and we'll fight for each other. It was, you know, his whole thing was, it's time to eat. Everybody would always yell, it's time to eat. It's time to eat, you know, and meaning it's time to play football. We're going to have to hunker down. We're going to have to, you know, we're going up against two good rival teams out of Baltimore and Pittsburgh. They love to run. Jamal Lewis, they had Bettis, you know, and these teams love to run, so it was a 9-on-7, but they'd try to throw these trick plays in and throw passes. So at the same time, we were looking, we got front 9 that's going to do well, and it's back end, we got to hold our own. So
yeah,
you know, we were all switched on every time it was time to play. It was always good for us.
I think it was week two that year. You guys had a game against Minnesota. You had three picks in that thing. Do you still have the game ball? I assume you got the game ball that day.
Yeah, I do.
Where's that displayed? Do you have that somewhere in your house or?
Yeah, I actually have it in my office. I have it in my office. I tell you, the best game ball I ever had was, I mean, it's not that season, was against Denver when we played a Monday night, first Monday night in I don't know how long in Cincinnati. Me and Tori got on the trailer for defense, beating Denver. We both got interceptions. So, I mean, but I have that ball sitting in a casing. You know, I didn't get a chance to get Tori to sign it, but I still keep in contact with him. So,
yeah,
it'd be nothing to call to have him. So I'll probably see him soon to get it signed. But
yeah
I still have that game ball. That's definitely a good one.
Oh, well, I mean, I gotta imagine. So the '04 Monday night game, which was, I mean, you talk about, which is a topic I want to get into. You talk about a moment when the Bengals were no longer the old Bengals again. When they were, the Bengals became cool. You know, from that point forward, they had been a laughingstock for so long, but all of a sudden they're on Monday Night Football. They've got this dynamic offense. They got this opportunistic defense, and they're young. Did you sense that? Was that a big moment, you think, for you guys, even as the inclination of the 05 team was what happened then and kind of what happened at the end of the 04 season that way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It sparked. It sparked us. You know, like you said, a lot of people had that vision. Even the rookies were telling me, you know, coming in, oh, man, the Bengals, man. They were telling me on draft day when they got drafted, man, I'm going to the Bengals. I don't even know who's on the Bengals. And I'm like, man, look, you're part of a team that's playing in the NFL. Don't look at it like that. Look at it as an opportunity for you to show your skills. And, you know, one of these days you'll get a big contract and your name will speak for itself and you'll help this team. You know, and that whole situation with Denver kind of brightened their eyes. They're like, okay, this is real. You know, I can actually do it. And, you know, a couple of guys got hurt. I twisted my ankle, had a high ankle sprain versus Cleveland when we played them, and it was like 50-something to 49 or something when it was a high-scoring game. And Keyvon actually got in. You know, he was a second-round draft pick. He got in and started playing, and he was balling. And I don't like Keyvon. Do you see what I mean? He was one of the guys that was telling me, man, I didn't know what to think coming into the Cincinnati Bengals. But when he got a chance to play, he was playing. He was like, oh, man, I could do this. You know, it's not a problem.
Yeah. You know what? You know what's the other one that always sticks out and that people talk about to this day? And really, when people talk about the 05 Bengals, one of the first images they see is of TJ polishing his shoes with a terrible towel after you guys won in Pittsburgh. What was the first thing you thought when you first saw that and realized that was captured and that it was about to be everywhere?
You're going to have to answer to that one, TJ. You're going to have to answer to that one. But, I mean, it was a great feeling. You know, we accomplished something. You know, it was something that we haven't accomplished in so long. So, you know, I felt his pain. I felt what he was thinking, but, you know, I probably wouldn't make no marks or no, you know, no gestures like that. But, you know, it'd be like for me, I've been there, done before. You know, I get excited on the field. I'll do my hoorah and all that. But, you know, this and another team, I'm not, that's not for me. But that's TJ's game. You know, that's TJ, that's Chad's game. You know, if you can cover me, cover me. Come on, I want to see it. But 9 times out of 10, you can't cover me in a phone booth. So that's Chad, you know, and that's TJ. So, but, I mean, it felt real good, you know, because we had lost to Pittsburgh earlier in the year, and, you know, they had beat us real bad, and, you know, we had came back. You know, it was a dogfight, and we ended up beating them. And finally, you know, it was like, finally, we made it. Let's do this.
Yeah.
Come on, we got 3-4 more games left. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. You know,
was that kind of the point where you started to think about a Super Bowl run as a reality, or did it happen before that?
Nah, you know, we never thought. You know, during the season, I was always taught, don't look so far ahead, because the next team you play, they're going to dog you because you're thinking about something far out of your reach. So, you know, for us, it was as a defense. Not so much, I don't know about the offense, but as a defense. And Marvin Lewis was stressing it as well. He was like, look, don't look further than what we have next week. You know, that was always his pet peeve. You know, we got this team next week. Let's concentrate on them. You know, so for us as a defense, we all, you know, once we played that game when it was 0-0, 0-0 and we won, you know, we looked at, okay, who we got next on the schedule? You know, let's stay focused. Let's stay into this game. Let's get in this books. Let's get these rookies right. And, you know, that was our whole focus. And, you know, we were always contemplating and trying to figure out how to get this offense on the field so they could put up points. Or if we can get an interception score, we can put in points, you know, so you know, that was always our focus. Look to next week. We never looked further than next week.
Yeah. Did you, you know, we're going to have to go to a dark place here for a second and go to the playoff game. from your angle, where you as a defense and you're like, okay, here you go. First play goes, when Carson goes down, I mean, is it possible to put into words what that felt like when you realized kind of what was happening, or did you not realize at that time what was happening?
You know, I was too busy looking at the Jumbotron and watching the ball go, and so I rose up, started running, you know, so I could see, because I couldn't see because all the big defensive linemen were standing, and the offensive line. So, I kind of peeked through, and I saw Chris catch the ball. I'm like, yes, and then I heard a silence, and I'm like, well, what happened? You know, and I look back, and I see Carson down, and then I'm like, wow, and then they showed it on the replay. It was just more like, oh, you know, but you're not as good. Your team is not as good unless your second string could do, you know, what your first string guy is doing. So, you know, I had all my faith, and I believe Kitner could do it. You know, it just – our whole spirit, our whole morale during that game, when we saw, you know, number 9 go down, it just took the breath out of us. And
yeah,
Pittsburgh took advantage of it, you know. I think if we would have just stayed focused and, you know, not harped on the fact that we lost our guy, and, you know, we would actually probably stood and actually prevailed. But, you know, it happens. You know, that's all part of the game. You know, you got to learn to deal with controversy. And at that moment, from I think it was the second quarter, from the second quarter to the end of the game, our morale, our we were just done. You know, we tried to bring it back coming out of halftime, and it was just we wasn't focused on the game, and we were too busy worrying about we just lost somebody. Wow, you know, so. Yeah. That was one of them stunning moments where it's like a positive and a negative. You feel good, and then you can't be serious.
like you were saying earlier, you know, you felt like it was your best chance. You know, your best team, your best chance to make a run. Do you still get not bitter is the wrong word, but do you still get bent out of shape a little bit, feeling like you had an opportunity ring sort of just taken away, you know, with one hit?
Oh, yes. Yes.
You know, it was your eyes a little bit. I mean, do you still see it? Yeah.
I mean, it was like a carrot in front of a rabbit, you know, with a fishing pole and a string. You're just chasing it, like it's right there.
Yes.
But you know, things happen, man. And you know, I still enjoyed my time that season. You know, I still enjoyed even though it finished the way it did. I still enjoyed it. You know, I was part of a team that actually didn't go to the playoffs for however many years. And we actually turned the face of the city of Cincinnati and actually said, wow, this team can play with the big dogs. And it actually felt good to me to actually be a part of that. Even though we didn't accomplish what we wanted to, we had, you know, those, you know, we all had made those plans to make it to that day. That's our day. Mm-hmm. But since we did make it, it still was an enjoyable season. You know, it does hurt when you think about it, and I still have the DVD to watch it, and, you know, sometimes I'll pop it in. I don't watch that play. I don't watch that play. I love that team, you know, and I love seeing the guys that I play with. So, you know, through the bad and through the good, I always watch it just to bring back memories. And I'll call old friends, old players that play on that team, and we'll just start gossiping about just being in the locker room, just, you know, having fun. We all had fun that year. It was just something different about that year. It was just, yes, this is a team. Let's go. Everybody had each other's back, you know. So, you know, that's what I get out of it when I, you know, start looking at it. And I, you know, get to see some plays that some guys was making, and I'll call them. Man, you remember when you made this play? He's like, nah, man, you remember that? I'm like, well, you know, I was just watching the game.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. I mean, it's one of those things where you were just saying, I mean, that the attitude that you guys had as a team, I think, how much did that feed off of the city? Because the city had wanted a winner for so long, and it was a fever took over the city about Bengals football that had really never existed, certainly probably not since they went to the Super Bowl in 1988. Could you guys as a team sense that and feel that from fans?
Oh yeah. I mean, I knew a lot of guys around the city, you know, whether they were business guys or just fans, just ordinary fans, 9-to-5 guy, corporate. You know, I would see them, they would recognize me, and they'd be like, good game, man, and, you know, pat me on my shoulder or something. And, you know, we'd have a long conversation about, so how's the morale of everybody? You know, this and this. And, you know, the fans were wonderful. You know, even the year before that, they were wonderful. They felt it before we felt it. You know, they were like, I feel it this year. Carson's coming on. Kitten's, you know, he's a great back up, but Carson's coming on. I can feel it. We're going to do good this year, you know. And, you know, things didn't happen the way it did. We went 500 in 04, and then the next year we actually excelled. And the city was just behind us. Everywhere we would go, if there was a Bengals function where we were doing an autograph signing, it was a lot of people out there. And, you know, I spoke to a couple of sport fans, fanatics, and they were like, this has never happened. You know, it's been a long time since this happened. Like, somebody would come here, it would be like select a few. You would have to be a first-round draft pick for somebody to actually, it'd be a long line. But, you know, it was just, you know, ordinary guys, not first-round draft pick. It'd be guys in the sixth, seventh round drafted. They'd go do a sign. It'd be a line out the door. They're like, man, we love you guys. We want you guys to do well. I hope you guys do well. You know, in this instance, we got your back. You guys are holding down the city. You brought football back to the city. And to me, that felt good, you know, to be a part of that, you know.
Yeah. Is that part of why you, I mean, because you said you're here, is that part of why you stayed, you know, kept kind of a place here just to stay connected to the city? Because, you know, you're a place where, you know, you didn't grow up here, you spent four years here. Is that part of the reason why you stayed, just kind of that, the connection with those years a little bit?
Well, I mean, my daughters actually live out there. So that's one of the reasons why I come back. But I always go back to the, you know, call Marvin or call, you know, the front office to speak to the guys that are still there. You know, and I try to keep a good relationship with Marvin because I really enjoyed him as a coach. Going in my rookie season at the East-West Shrine game, I'm walking through the lobby of the hotel where we were staying at, and that's the first person I seen. And I'm like, Marvin Lewis, you know. And I shook his hand, spoke to him. He was on another page. He was looking for somebody. He was, all right, man, nice to meet you. Yeah, good luck to you, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, so – when I got there to Cincinnati, it was a whole different story. You know, he was like, I wanted to know everything that I need to know through defense through him, because I know he's a defensive guru. He has it. You know, he's a well-trained coach. And, you know, I wanted to get anything and everything that I could out of him to understand the game. And, you know, he gravitated to me and I gravitated to him. You know, we had our ups and downs, but he always had my back. He always was there for me. He was always letting me know, you could have did this better. You probably would have had 15 more interceptions, you know. But,
yeah.
But, you know, it was always a good relationship, you know, other than other coaches that I was coached by. You know, that relationship with him was always good. You know, he always had my back.
Does he still remind you about that even today? Because I see you, I know you've been around the facilities a little bit. Does he still remind you to this day about how you could have had a few more interceptions if you just would have done this or that?
Oh, yeah, let me know, hands down. We actually, the weekend that they played Indianapolis for the playoffs in the wild card, I went to the practice and was watching them, you know, and – me and Marvin sat down for a good 45 minutes to an hour just reminiscing, you know, asking about old guys, remembering that season of the 05 season. Like, man, you guys were something else. You know, he was referring to the rookies, because the rookies that year, they were everywhere, you know, but he was like, man. But he would always mention to me and Tori, as we would walk on the field, going into practice, he was like, you know, a team starts with two good corners. Two good corners, this was his words every time. Two good corners always have to be on the top. So me and Tori be looking at each other like, what is this man talking about? You know? But every day at practice, you know, a good team starts with two good corners. That's what he would always say. So, you know, that kind of gravitated to us, and we were like, look, we got to perform, you know. And I think from that point in 05, me and Tori made it a game. We were like, look, let's see who can get more interception this game. You know, if Tori got a pick, I'm like, you know, I'm about to get me one, Tori. I got to get me one now. Tori be the same way. Oh, yeah, it's my turn now. Oh, yeah, you better watch out. You know, so.
Absolutely. Unbelievable. Well, hey, Delta, I want to thank you again for taking some time to chat with me. Always great to catch up with you. And man, you guys, next time you come back around, we need to get something where we can have you come out and bring the 05 team back on the field or something like that this year too.
Oh man,
it has never really been properly celebrated the way it should, you know.
Hey, I would love that.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can make that happen for you. And best of luck to you with everything that you got going on. And we'll hopefully we'll catch up with you again down the road, man.
All right, thanks again, man.